This lecture is brought to you by Buford Road Baptist Church. The speaker today is Deacon Danny Cahoot.
The lesson today I'm titling Someday I'll is you've got so many people in this world that they're someday I'll do it. Someday they live on someday I'll because someday I'm going to do it. And it's sad because they die on that island. Because I'm a firm believer there's a big difference in serving in church and going to church and attending church. It's a huge difference. You can serve in many ways, at home praying, at home sending out cards, picking up trash when you see it in the floor. There's all kinds of ways that the Lord puts people into the ministry for serving. But to make the scope of their relationship with the Lord, I'm going to go one of these, you know, someday I'll, or there. They can't find enough energy to focus on somebody else. I'll cover that here shortly. I said this the last time I taught too. If you were in a position where you knew in 3 minutes you were going to die, had no time to think about it, no, whether it's falling off a building, falling, crashing into it, whatever, burning in a building, you knew you were going to die. What do you think your last thought would be? You know, most of us don't give it a second thought because it happens so quick. I'm going to cover a few of these things. I covered a little bit about a friend of mine who just died in a boating accident. He's very, very knowledgeable. His whole life was spent on the water. Was driving a boat from Virginia Beach to Oregon Inlet to have some work done on it in Wanchese. We were very close friends years ago and seen him much after in the last few years. But the latest they said about this was that this man would have made it through the inlet. This is their assumption. They can't tell for sure. That he was coming through with a boat. These are big boats, Gulfstream fishing boats. And somehow, because it had gotten dark, they were going through the inlet. And the man that was with him, Mr. Chad Dunn, must have, they're not saying for sure, fell overboard from a wake, from a jolt, from something. And so Charlie, he could have made it. Turned the boat real quick to go back and rescue someone else, and the boat capsized, and that's how he drowned. They assumed that because the boat, Charlie and his dog were found washed up all together and they never found Chad. But I just picture this man because we were as close to him as almost, not as me and my brother, we grew up together, but we were neighbors down in Nag's Head for years. We would go out all night tuna fishing. He would take our family out and we would have dinner with him and we fellowship. We got him to church a couple of times down there. But his wife would say, Charlie ain't going. Charlie's not a church-going man. We got him to go twice. I shared the gospel with him a couple of times, but that's ringing through my head. Charlie's not a church-going man. He's not a church man, but the rest of them would go. The second he knew he was perishing, I don't think it was, oh, God, Jesus coming to my heart. I think he totally focused on saving himself. Eternity wasn't in his mind. I still got a chance. I can still, you know, fight to the end. Enough of that one. Going back to my own personal life, I've almost died a couple of times. I almost died Wednesday night, I think. I'll tell you about that here shortly, and then I'll get into the lesson. I'm just getting us to think about where we are spiritually. I mean, here's one more thought. These people that just can't find, I'm not talking about our church, I'm talking about worldwide, that just can't find enough time. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in all. I just wonder if they would take the top three things on their mind that says, this is why I don't go to church, this is why I don't serve, this is why I refuse to do this. And when they do pray, if they do pray, say, before they begin their prayer and they get their sins confessed and they get before God, just start their prayer with, oh God, The reason I don't serve you is because I'm so tired. The reason I don't serve you, and the reason I don't tithe is because I can't afford it. The reason, and just the top three things that keep somebody from actually serving, thank God for that before you even pray for anything else. I get sarcastic sometimes, but I just think that's the things people come up with. A few years back, I've done a lot of work on cars. I worked in a plant 30-some years, drove a locomotive for years. I worked on cars. I was changing the axle on the back of a Dodge truck. Foolishly, I had the truck sitting on some cinder blocks when I was jacking it up and I was dropping the axle down, up on it, putting the bolts in. The cinder blocks cracked. I'll never do that again. I'll never get under another vehicle again, ever, without it properly being, ever. I just won't do it. But I was under there, and that axle came down and was actually touching my chest. I'm telling you, a quarter of an inch would have crushed me. The most fascinating thing about that, I won't panic. There was no fear. Peace. I really thought it was over. I couldn't even holler hardly. My wife faintly heard it. She came running out and saw it. She bent down and said, go get the tractor. Carefully stick the fork of the tractor where the trailer hitch goes. Just ease it off my chest. I'm finding it hard to breathe. So she got the tractor, put that fork in there, and just barely. I said, okay. I just stopped right there and let me catch my breath. But I'm telling you, I was running out of breath. It was close. I mean, real close. It wasn't my time. And I said, okay, now ease it up some more so don't jolt. And she got that axle maybe an inch off of my chest. And I backed out of there just as quick as I could. And I hit my knees and said, thank you, Lord. You got something else for me. Wednesday night, it was pouring down rain. Pouring down rain. I was coming down Spring Run Road, kind of taking my time, and I look, here comes a car almost sideways. We would have hit head on. I had to take my truck. For some reason, I always take the car on Wednesday nights, especially when the family's going. I decided I am going to drive the truck tonight because it's raining. Because it's been raining all day, it's going to be some mud puddles and all, so I decided to take the truck. Here comes this car, and I didn't have time to think, oh, Lord, say, oh, Lord, this. Oh, I didn't have time for nothing. So I went over into the ditch, and because I was in the ditch, it was either hit him or hit a, I thought I was going to hit a tree. I really did. If you stuck your hand out of the window, you could have touched trees as I was going by. I knew if I pulled it back up out of the ditch, I was going to roll it because it was a steep ditch. So all I could do was ride the ditch until I got to the driveway and came back up, and I said, whew, that was close. No fear. Not one ounce of fear. Now, let me tell you something. I probably am a bigger sinner than any one of y'all in here. I have to go to the cross every day of my life and ask God to forgive me just for what I think about people. Because there's some stupid people out there, and I think this in my heart. You know, you're stupid. But I have to say, Lord, forgive me for that. But what are people doing in this life that say, yeah, I'm a Christian? So we're going to touch back on a little bit of that. I had to cover a few of these, just five or six other things. I don't want to take time. These people the other night that fell off this bridge, going to work, Baltimore. Y'all know everybody's heard about it. They're probably laughing and joking and cussing, telling dirty jokes, and you know, I don't know. I just know I worked around a group of men my whole life in a plant, so I know how people are. They had no idea that in an hour they're going to be dead. Had no idea. And when the ship hit the bridge and down they went, they weren't thinking, you know, Lord, I'm coming home. They were thinking, oh. Think about it. Down in the water they went, like that. When we go out to this door right here tonight, I just wish that you just don't, we can't guarantee in an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, tomorrow, next month, next week, we can't guarantee that we're going to be here. leading into this lesson here, I'm just asking, I'm begging. I just wish so many people would just keep their hearts clean and pure and straight, not sinless. We can't do that. Just be ready. Be ready when it's our time, because we just don't know. We just don't know. You've taught on that the last couple of times you've taught about in the book of Jonah. You just don't know when it's your time or when it's anybody's time. Rather than be vicious, smile. Rather than bicker and complain and argue, smile. Help someone else find the bread. Help someone else. Show someone else with just a smile. Why are you smiling? Come on to church. I'll tell you. You'll find out why. So we're going to get back into Passover. Let's start back in Exodus, and I'm going to just read a couple of verses. The Passover for these Jews, when they were delivered out of Egypt, in the last plague that God sent on Pharaoh was the death angel. And let's go to Exodus chapter 12 in verse 13. The Passover for these people. Now, we looked at Jesus became our Passover. When we accept Christ, we accept that Passover. He is our Passover. These Jews, their Passover was the death angel passing over, but still, let's read this verse and I'll elaborate on it. Verse 13 of chapter 12. And the blood shall be a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you, and you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This day shall be a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast throughout the Lord, throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance to the Lord. It's the Lord's Passover. Now let's jump ahead to verse 26 real quick. And here's why he said, this is going to be a memorial forever. Just forever. Verse 26, and it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you this service? Even today. Why are we keeping the Passover, Daddy? I'll tell you why. Because we had a great deliverer that delivered us out of bondage. And we were for years and years, 400 some years. And there were over a million of us just exited out of there, and we were free. I think that, let's see, here it is, let me. And when you put meaning to the service, that verse 27, that ye shall say it, it's a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over our houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptian to deliver our houses. And the people bowed their head and worshiped. Now, the number of people, let's go to verse 20, 37 here. And the children of Israel sojourned from Ramses into Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were just men. I just can't imagine that many people together in one place, besides the children. And a mixed multitude went up with them with flocks. The mixed multitude is those that weren't Jews. They say, hey, I'm getting out of Dodge here with you. And the multitude also went flocks and herds and very much cattle. So you can picture this, the death angel passed over in this Exodus. And after that, he said, we just taught on this the last time. I'm not going to cover it again. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, which represents a holy walk after redemption. They were the Lord's Passover for them, and they were delivered out of a physical bondage. A slavery for years and years and years. It was a complete physical bondage, slavery, deliverance. Us as Christians, when we accept Christ as our Passover, he died and shed his blood for us. He became our Passover. He became our high priest. He became our mediator, our one mediator to God. We didn't need this blood from the goats. We didn't need it. He became our. So we are delivered out of a spiritual bondage, a sin bondage. Those were physical. Ours are a sin bondage. We're no longer slaves to sin, but we were a slave to sin before we found Christ. So that's the difference here where we are now. Christ became our. And that's what we're celebrating now. Christ our Lord became our Passover. He was crucified, buried, and rose again. That's the entirety of the gospel. So many people think it's about the Easter bunny and the candy, and I'm all for that. I'm all for having fun with the kids and my grandkids. But we teach them also, what is it all about, really? And the Bible teaches us, teach your children Teach them why we do this. Teach them why you come to church. Teach them why you serve. Hey, we're here, but just a vapor of time. We're only, look, think about it. Think about 20 years from now. I'm 65. I don't know who's going to be the first to go, me or you, brother. I hope it's you. No, I don't. That's sarcastic. Now, I joke with my brother. I hope I die before anybody in my family because I don't want to bury him. Me and my brother are close outside of this church. We don't discuss too much about the church, only unless we're in the front of brethren with deacons. But we split wood together. We have fun together. We laugh and joke and cut up and carry on. But in 20 years, 65, 75, 85, well, let's go 30. 30 years. Think about this. What will become of every one of us here in this room? Every time we just buried in Brian Beasley's mom. Went to that funeral, and every time it just breaks my heart. Every time I go to a cemetery, I just happen to stop. I always get lessons from it. I always look, and I say, look at all these people. Nothing but a name chiseled on a tombstone. 50 years from now, my grandkids come up, they won't know nothing about me. They'll pass by, they might even, all I'll be, me. All I will be is a name chiseled on a tombstone. Nobody will know where I went to school. Nobody will know what I did. Nobody will know we played football together and won championships. And nobody will know, brother, that me and you served together in this Sunday school. Nobody will know that I like to fish. Nobody, no, nothing, just a name. People stepping over. Every one of us will be nothing in 50 years but a name chiseled on the tomb. So what's it all about? The only thing that we're going to take with us, folks, is people that we've won to the Lord. And that doesn't mean that, see, I love to take this Bible and lead people to the Lord. I do. I love it. I haven't had that much opportunity. I have had, and I'll take that back. I probably may have personally won 20 in my life. That's not a large number. It's really not. Half of those came when somebody in my wife's family, the pastor was busy, so they asked me to do the funeral. Called the pastor. I'll get into the lesson in a minute. Said, I need an order of service. I'm not schooled on this. He had done hundreds. So he gave me an order of service. I didn't want to do his service, so I just did the service. 7 people from my wife's family accepted Christ. Okay. This is why I didn't die. When the axle was on my chest, I had a mission. My point being behind that is you can give somebody a smile, and that could be their ticket to eternity. Just, why is that guy so happy? Man, I ran into this guy. Well, he must have Jesus. What about, who's Jesus? You know, somebody else. The Bible says one person plants, one person waters, and one person gets, but God gives the increase. We don't know who. We don't know. Listen, that's why I'm all for praying church. When you got 10 people praying, when you got 20 people praying, when you got 100 people praying, and we're all praying, we don't know if the Lord's going to answer you or you or me or him. We don't know whose prayer God is going to answer, but if we're all collect, he's going to answer somebody. I got something here. Before I pass on, I'm going to show you this illustration. I didn't think I was going to get to it, but I am because it's where I'm leading. Empty jar, right? Yeah. Now I'm getting my thought back. This is like an empty soul. No salvation. Just going through life. Going to be cast out somewhere. They hear the gospel. Here we go. You got a corn seed. The seed of salvation plants inside somebody's heart. See that? If it's loosely topped, it'll get some air. But I can set this, I don't have a shelf to set it on. I can set that corn seed in this jar up on the shelf. And you know what will happen for the next 100 years, if that's all it is that if you relate this to salvation, We all got the seed of salvation in our hearts. If all we do is set our salvation up on a shelf, that corn seed will remain a corn seed forever and never produce a single bit of fruit, ever. But the minute you put some water to it, some good soil, some good light, something happens. A transformation happens. It doesn't come overnight. It begins to grow and to grow and to grow. And pretty soon, this jar wouldn't contain that. It would be in the ground to do that. And do you know that if you grow it and you pull the ears off of the corn stalk, you got 3 to 5 ears, 3 ears, sometimes two. You take those seeds and you hold them for the next year and you plant them. Growth in a Christian life does not come overnight. It's too many people, yeah, I'm saved. And then a month later, they cut the water off. They cut the light off. They cut it off. And that's why this place is not full this morning. That's why there's only a few churches. And because that's their salvation. Pinned up. No water. No strength. No soil. No light. But you can take 3 ears of corn and in 10 years feed this entire world. It grows and produces fruit, and then fruit after itself and after its kind, and pretty soon you can't stop it. Somebody had to win Billy Graham. I'm sure the guy that won Billy Graham to the Lord, that might have been the only person he ever won to the Lord. So if you just win one, whether it's with the Word, yourself, or with a smile you give somebody, that one will multiply. That two, then four, then six, then 20, then 50, and God can change this world. But the church overall, not this church, keeps their salvation pinned up in the jar where it can't be fed. I mean, that's just the basic truth. And let me see if I can find it. Let's go to Mark. This wasn't on here. Let's go to Mark chapter 4 real quick. I think that's Mark 5 or 6. Hold on. Mark. Hold on. I'll find it. It is 4. Verse 26. Mark 4:26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow. He not know how. We don't know what the Lord's going to answer. We don't know what the Lord's going to do. We don't know which way the wind's going to blow. We just don't know. I mean, I can eat food. I don't know how that gets into my body and my cells reproduce and my fingernails have grown. I have to cut them. I don't understand any of that. But I know it does. I know I have faith in my heart. I just know it does. But I do know that if I quit eating, I'm going to die. And that's the same thing spiritually. And this is what this is trying to, we don't know. But, and if the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full ear of a corn. I'm not, the lesson wasn't on planting corn this morning. I just wasn't going to throw that into the end. But there's another one on it. I did write this one down, John chapter 12. This is specifically talking about the crucifixion, actually, but it's we can relate it. People can read the scripture, and everybody gets a little something different out of it. You can get a lesson out of it. That's why I say I'm not one to boast on this, but I've been reading this Bible. I'm on my 30th time, cover to cover. 30th. I'm not saying that to boast. I'm just saying I can take one verse and read it tonight and see something I've never seen. But you know what happens to some? The book is sitting on a coffee table to scare the boogeyman away in most homes in this church, in this world. Oh, yeah, I got Grandma's Bible in the house. I'm good. They never water what's inside of them if it's in there. John, let's see, back in chapter 12. First, chapter 12, let's see, that's 13. my pages are stuck. Hang on, there's 11. Gotta go one more here. Shouldn't be stuck. There it is. Because I did write this down. Chapter 12, verse 23, starting off, Jesus is talking about himself, but he's also sharing what can happen to your own life. Jesus answered and said, the hour has come. That's what we're celebrating this weekend, is the hour that came. We're looking back to that cross. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat, you can use this as a corn of any kind of grain you want to think of, except a grain of corn, wheat, fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. You know what happens to the seed when you plant it in ground and water it and give it heat and light? That seed dies. But root takes forth and it brings forth fruit and much fruit after that. So it's telling us, once we get the seed of salvation in our heart, we have to die to ourselves to a degree. We have to, he has to be the way, he must increase. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He was speaking of himself, but it's also speaking of us with our own spiritual life. Unless we, once we accept Christ as our personal Savior, that seed of salvation comes to us and something happens. Only if you water it. Only if you water it. It can't grow without the water. And the Bible says that this is the water. Okay, let's see. I'm going to have to pick up here a little bit. Okay, there's one more verse talking about the resurrection. Let's go to 1 John. Because I'm telling you, I don't care all these people who come up and they say they've been to heaven and back and they've seen the light. No, I'm not all for it. I'm not saying that they don't see a light. We're on a near-death experience. But ain't nobody been up there and seen God and seen Jesus Christ himself in person and come back to tell about it. That just has not happened, folks. That's heresy. You can read all the books you want about it, but it hadn't happened. Let's see, let's find my 1 John chapter 1. Let me find out where I put that at. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. There it is. I knew I had it. Speaking of the resurrection, that's one thing for sure. In 50 years from now, we will all be nothing but a name on a tombstone somewhere for people to step over by to go put a flower on somebody else. And then 6 years later, they want no more flowers for them. We don't know what there's going to be a resurrection for everybody that's truly saved. Jesus is the first to raise from the dead that God raised. Beloved, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we do know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Okay, and I've got just a few minutes to elaborate on this next part. We're going to go jump here, and I'm going to elaborate on that a little bit. Matthew. This will get some hope for a resurrection here, folks. I thought I wrote it down. I'm going to have to go on my memory. Matthew 16, let's try that. Nope, 17, folks, here we go. This will give you some hope, give all of us hope. Here, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on an exceeding high mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. Ponder this for a minute. Verse 17, verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And here, look at this, folks. I've taught on this once before. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses, Elijah, talking with him. Now you figure Peter, James, and John, they're looking okay. My goodness. That's Moses. He's been dead 4,000 years. He's alive. What does that do for us as a church? That means 4,000 years from now, we're going to be alive somewhere. Either there or there. And Elijah talking, what happened to Elijah? He was translated. He never saw death. So if Jesus came right now, that's a perfect example of us, the church, and those that remain shall be caught up together with them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we're going to have a resurrection one way or the other. So you've got two live witnesses here. One that was Moses, who had been dead 4,000 years. One, Elijah, who never saw death. And in Jesus, in his glorified body. So they were able to, prior to the resurrection of Christ, view the resurrected Savior. Isn't that cool? They got to look at him and say, wow. And then God's voice came down and says, behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Okay, and then that came and they said, oh, let's build an altar for this. Let's build an altar. We got to build a tabernacle. But things changed. That's not where I'm heading with the lesson here, but I'm going to finish up with this next part here. And because there's four areas of our life that mean more to anything else in your life, because it's absolutely true. And it could mean the difference in somebody getting saved or somebody dying and going to hell. The first three, no. The second, that fourth one, yeah. Four areas of our life. One area, we all got four areas. One that we all know. You know, I normally don't wear a tie. I did on Easter. I do when we got special events. You can look at that and say, boy, Brother Danny got a tie on this morning. Man, that's right. You can see that. You've got a red jacket on. I mean, you got glasses on. I mean, there's some things that are just that everybody knows about us right off the bat. Common knowledge. The other area of our life, that there's some things in your life, well, me anyway, I'll carry to my grave. Only me and God will ever know about it. I'm going to be buried. It's going to be in a tombstone with my name on it. Now, nobody ever know about it. I'm going to bury it. And we all have it. We all have things in our life. God's forgiven things, and things that don't need to be forgiven, that we've done, that we do, and it's not necessarily sin, but things that I just would never let this person or that people or them know anything at all. I'm carrying it to my grave. Here's the bad part. The good, something's happening with you. Echoing. People try to hide. The way they hide is, isn't it a shame that you know so much about somebody, but they pretend that they know, nobody knows? Let me tell you something. If two people know, in 2 months, 20 people know. And in 4 months, 80 people will know. And if in a year, and you might think nobody ever knows this right here, let me tell you something. There's some things about every one of us in here that we know about. Maybe not personally, that people know about, that you don't know they know. For instance, I will never, because they're not here any longer, I'm going to have to brush up here with the last one. I was sitting in the toilet stool back here one Sunday morning, trying to be quiet, man, so nobody hear the splash, sploosh. Just trying to be honest with you, trying to be quiet. Nobody knew I was in there, and these two people come in there, yeah. Start talking about the pastor. I just don't like the way this happened and that happened. Okay, I knew who they were. Never said a word. I was trying to be quiet. Not because I didn't want to hear them. I didn't want them to hear me. So I was as quiet as I could be. I let them wash their hands and get on out of there because I didn't want them to know that I knew what they were just said about my pastor, about this church. And I let it go. And I took it down. You know what I did with it? I put it under the blood. I said, God will take care of that. And you know, it's probably been 15, 20 years, maybe longer than that. They're no longer here. I don't even know if they're in church. That's not my concern. Because it didn't affect the ministry. If it had, I would have called it out. I would have. But that was not going to do it. So anyway, that's just be careful. Little birdie going to take stuff. The final thing, and I'm going to end with this, is the future. None of us know that. What you going to do with tomorrow? What you going to do with this afternoon? Are we going to go home in business as usual? Are we going to lay our bed and our heads on our pillow tonight with unconfessed sin in our life? I challenge you. Don't go to bed because you don't know if you're going to wake up. Clear your slate before you go to bed. Tomorrow's going to be a different battle. Tomorrow's going to be a tough battle. Why? Because tomorrow actually really never comes if you think about it. It's always today. That's why the Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. How many people will die tonight thinking they've got tomorrow? So, anyway, if I start to develop this next point, I'm not going to be able to do it. But one more thing. Yeah, let's go real quick. Psalm 78. Man, I got so much here that I wanted to cover. I have to finish next time. I'm just going to read one verse here and then I'll jump to a different point. Psalms chapter 78, real quick. And this goes for all of us. When we're talking about the first part of the lesson, if you missed it, about the Passover, how they came out and God delivered the Jews. And he said, now listen, you tell your children about this big day that we've just had so that they can tell their children, so that they can tell their children. So generation after generation after generation will know the great hand of God. So chapter 78 of Psalms. Verse, I'm going to skip most of it. Verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob, appointing a law in Israel, and he commanded out of our fathers that they should make known unto them to their children. Do your children know the day you got saved? Did they know who led you to the Lord? Do they know you're saved? You got to pass it on. Verse 6. That the generation to come might know them. Even the children which shall be born, who shall rise up and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and forget not the works, but to keep his commandments. Some people don't know how great God is. If you've never had a true supernatural deliverance, let me tell you something. You don't have a clue what you're missing. Supernatural, yes. There are angels from one end of our lives to the other that are sent here for that purpose. One more verse here, Psalms 1. And I'm going to have to close. Because every time I start talking on something else changes. And here's the essence of our Christian lives. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What is that? You get around people who are mealy-mouthing. You get around counsel and say, man, I don't need to go to church. You don't have to go to church to be saved. You don't have to go to Sunday school. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. Me and God got a good thing going. That's counsel of ungodly people, folks. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Scorning. I didn't have time to finish over in Psalms, the other part of Psalms. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and shall bring forth fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let me tell you something. I don't care if you're black, you're white, you're green, you're yellow, whatever. If you plant that corn seed, you're going to grow corn. If I plant it, I'm going to grow corn. If you plant this corn seed, it doesn't matter who you are. Salvation is grace. I do know one thing, that if you don't plant it, you won't grow. Nothing. That corn seed will sit up on a shelf like that for the next 50 years. But you know what I've done before? Me and my brother, we plant garden. I'm going to have to finish this. I have found seeds 10 years old and gone out and planted and grown good crop. All you got to do is put water to what's in your life. Just feed it. Let God do the increase. Let Him give the increase. We can't do nothing without Him. And I'm going to have to close. I'm getting waved at.
You listen to Deacon Danny Cahoot. For more information, visit our website at BufordRoadBaptistChurch.com.